can we make you a personalized podcast playlist?
Head on over to thehostquiz.com, answer 7 easy questions, and get a unique to your hosting biz playlist of thanks for visiting podcast episodes to help you smash your goals.
The action plan and strategies that will elevate your business is one quick quiz and a set of headphones away. Again, head to thehostquiz.com and take our quick hosting quiz today. Hi, I'm Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting.
And this is Success Unlocked, Season 1. Let us explain.
So our mission here at Thanks for Visiting is to unite and equip short-term rental hosts to create unique and safe spaces-turned businesses, to strengthen guest and community trust so we can ensure the longevity and profitability of independent hosts. And of course, to bring more host voices to the forefront.
It's one thing to hear our perspective on short-term rental business building strategies, but we wanted to bring more value to you by introducing other incredible hosts to the Thanks for Visiting stage.
So we are excited to present to you this season of Success Unlocked, where our Hosting Business Mastery Membership coaches will discuss operations, social media, unique builds, co-hosting strategies, and so much more.
Today's show, The Co-Hosting Confidential, is hosted by Amy Corbett. She is the co-founder of All Belong Co., a growing collective of 30-plus short-term rentals in 4 states, including her very own train caboose. Amy has hosted more than 5,000 guests since 2019.
A self-described accidental entrepreneur, her properties have been featured in multiple publications. And she's making such an impact on our community. Her small city of Lynchburg, Virginia, chose Amy's family as brand ambassadors for the city's rebranding campaign in 2022. Let's get to today's episode.
Hey, this is Amy Corbett, and we are here with the glamorous and wonderful Sarah Karakayan, and whom you may know from Thanks for Visiting, but we're here to talk about co-hosting because some of you may not know that Sarah owns a boutique short-term rental co-hosting business named
Stay a While Hosting Co.
Stay a While Hosting Co. Well, thank you for giving your time to us, Sarah.
I am so excited.
It's very fun to be on this side of the microphone interviewing you, and a little daunting, I must say.
This is going to be fun.
It is.
I'm an open book.
Okay.
Well, and if I'm not, if I need to close a chapter on you, I'll
let you know. Sounds good. We're going to get deep and dirty here.
Okay.
Okay. So give us your background. Tell us, how did co-hosting come about for you?
Co-hosting was quite an accident for me. Was it an accident for you?
It kind of just fell in my lap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. So I moved from New York City to Columbus, Ohio to start fresh with life, make life easier. And Nick and I, my husband and I, knew we wanted to continue our short-term rental journey. We didn't really know exactly what that meant, but we know we wanted to continue with it, and we wanted less red tape than we were getting in New York. We got to Columbus, and I think my whole plan was, it's always been to acquire property that we own, turn them into short-term rentals, and self-manage. And I was sharing that on Instagram via my Instagram stories back in like 2016, 17, something like that. And Christine Kimball DM'd me, and she was like, hey, would you reduce for other people? And I had never really thought about that. I was like, I knew people because in 2016, I mean, I started hosting in 2012, but I knew that their co-hosts exist and things like that. But my co-host was my husband, you know, so we could share visibility into our business. And so I said, yeah, I think I could. And she onboarded her property with me. I learned a ton, and I just took the same systems that I was doing for myself, and I made sure they worked with her. I asked my attorney a ton of questions, but that's really like the start of it all.
That's awesome. And then like, at what point when you're hosting for one person, do you go, oh, I could do this again? Did somebody come to you for the next one?
Yes. Here's what I will tell you. And obviously listeners who are listening right now are interested in co-hosting. property management, co-hosting from someone who has their stuff together and who treats their clients like partners and not a number are hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
So when word got out that I was willing to work with other owners and treat their properties like I would treat my own, I mean, saying no is now more common than, you know what I mean, than saying yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, once you just talk about it and have one or two clients who also share the good news that you're good at what you do, it is like wildfire.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to market you.
Yes.
Even more than you have to do it yourself.
Yes.
So when did you give it a name? When did you come up with Stay a While Hosting Co?
When I moved to Columbus, we knew we wanted to continue our short-term rental journey, but we didn't have it mapped out. Like, okay, I'm going to start a co-hosting company, property management company. I want to get it to 100 properties by this date. We didn't have any of that. We were still flipping houses, and my husband and I used to do DIY YouTube videos, the home improvement YouTube videos.
Yes.
And we were bloggers. So like that was kind of like our main focus. And so I think we operated under Nestors, which is our, it's like our umbrella brand for all that stuff, until maybe like 2018. I had, I think probably like 6 or 7 or 8 owners that I was working with. And I wanted to really brand what we were doing. I also became a licensed real estate agent. And to be a property manager, there were certain things that we had to do in order to do that legally.
Like come under a broker.
Correct. And like that website had to have my broker's logo larger than my own, that whole thing, fair housing, all that stuff. So I just figured it was easier to create a name that is under Nestor. So it's doing business as Stay a While Hosting Co. And worked with our attorney to develop all of that and really started to give what we were doing an identity, which makes decisions easier. Once you, like it's beyond logos and colors. It's like, what do we stand for? What do we not stand for? What kind of properties do we want to manage? What don't we want to manage? Who are our best partners? Who aren't? And you put it all on your website that is separate from everything else that you're doing, the flips, the floor plans, the DIY home improvement videos. And it just becomes so much easier.
Right.
To like build that identity.
Yeah. What were some of those core values that you kind of knew this is going to be a brand standard for me?
Yes. So we knew that we wanted spaces that were safe and legal, right? So no, anything that was, if an owner told me that they were grandfathered in anything, I would say, you know, you're not a good fit for us. Beautiful spaces. So, and it's not, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? So we would put on different lenses every time we would come to a property and see if it was quote unquote beautiful, but really just put together, had an identity, thoughtful, cared for, those sorts of things. Of course, there are certain brand standards that we have to abide by that I'm happy to abide by, which is everyone belongs and we treat every single guest the exact same way. So all of our rules for our properties are incredibly dialed in. So no one feels like we're creating a rule just to single them out. Those sorts of things too. So really just consistency as well.
Right, right. And it all kind of comes under this umbrella of Stay a While Hosting Co. And how many properties are you guys up to now?
We were at, actually, so this might be an interesting, the anti story that most of the people that you're going to interview share with, but we were up to 55, and we're down to 25.
Okay.
Purposefully.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So last year we did a deep dive into the numbers of all the properties. And so not only profit margins that certain properties were in, but we also looked at maintenance tasks and how much time we were spending attending to those things. And then I also took things that you really couldn't fit on a spreadsheet, which was where my life was going.
Mm-hmm.
And Annette and I have this business, thanks for visiting, where it's important to us that we're practitioners, but I was honest with myself that I don't want to grow big just for the sake of growing big. I want to be very purposeful so that we can continue to be practitioners, but also have a work-life balance that was necessary when you're doing online content, educate, it's just all the time and it's so much. And also, as you know, property management is like all the time, so much.
Yeah. This was going to be my next question is, how do you juggle Stay a While Hosting Co. with thanks for visiting and still have time to sleep?
That's a question that I don't know that I have an answer to, but I can tell you what I'm trying. One of those was that audit last year. And And we figured out the properties that were making us 20% of our revenue, but costing us 80% of our time. And we offboarded them. And then the properties that were really lovely to take care of for, but they weren't like a one-off one bedroom that was separate from all the rest of them. You know what I mean? Like the revenue we were getting from that one owner, unfortunately, didn't support where we were going, which was really maximizing our team's efficiency and my efficiency, and also putting myself first. And that, so last year, to be completely honest, I had to share with those owners that some of these people I was offboarding, not because anything's wrong. It's just because I had to make a decision for myself to either scale to the next 50, probably to about 100. There are different, I believe there are sweet spots in co-hosting. I believe there are points where this is a sweet spot for where our operations are at and what our profit margin's on. And then to get to that next spot, your profit margin might dip while you're growing. And I had to ask myself if I was willing to do that, if that excited me. And it didn't. You know, like I was still able to learn, try out technology, evolve, tweak our practices and our operations and be involved in this whole industry because of Thanks for Visiting.
Yeah.
Without scaling to higher numbers.
Right. I mean, I think it's so great that, you know, as you're providing all of this educational content and leveling up the industry to host that, you know, you're still practicing it. You're still hosting these 25 properties. And that is a lot, you know. Most hosts that are listening here probably aren't up to that. And so we're looking at you and going, how does she do it all? It is amazing. So how did you, obviously the revenue played a part with which properties you decided to keep, but why else did you keep the 25 that you have?
Yeah. So some of them were location proximity. Some of them, and actually I can share with you this. So when we moved to Columbus, what we did know, I didn't know that I was going to co-host and all those things, but I did know that I wanted to own real estate. So building wealth through real estate has always been my transition out of my first career, which was performing, into this new career.
Okay, wait.
That's a whole other.
Do you know that Sarah is like Broadway? Sarah is Broadway.
There is Broadway. Wait, will you tell Broadway that? We're like, you're missing your whole identity. So I wanted to build wealth, but like, and I wanted to be entrepreneurs. And so that was very important to me. And so also, as I was finding myself with these 50 properties, and you look at yourself sometimes, you're like, what am I doing? My goal was to buy more properties that I own.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you might be listening out there, and that may not be your goal. Your goal really might be to grow the best and the biggest and most efficient co-hosting business out there. And to you, I say, good luck. And that is amazing. And you can do that.
Right.
That was never my goal. I love managing for others because you learn so much from other investors and how they manage their business, what's important to them. But for my husband and I wanted to dedicate my time back to finding more properties for us too. So again, like I kept, you know, of our properties, we would let go of like the one-off one-bedroom apartments that weren't a part of a larger complex, or if they were not performing, or if the owner and I weren't aligned.
Right.
You know, I've talked about that on the Thanks for Visiting podcast, that there was just owners who didn't want to dial in certain safety measures. Maybe it wasn't code, but it was like the right thing to do or things like that. So anyway, and I also wanted to make sure when we did scale back down that I still could support the team that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, so profit for us isn't what I pay myself. I also pay myself, and then I want to be left over with a profit margin, because that's just the health of a business. You don't want to be riding on a razor thin profit margin, because then losing one property could be detrimental. So that we could focus more time on growing Thanks for Visiting, because we can serve even more people and hosts that way. But my husband and I also, and Annette and I, have time to find properties that we can buy and manage, self-manage. So.
Which was your original dream.
Original goal.
So coming back to that full circle, and co-hosting gets you towards that dream. So let's talk about your team.
Yeah.
Who do you have? What do they do? And what are you doing in Stay Wild Hosting Co?
I am trying to do work on it, not in it. So really, at not as little as possible. I don't mean that to say that I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, but I really want to be a part of the strategy, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a team of, I think, 6 people. Okay. And they range from reservationists to revenue management and strategy to our buying, the person who buys all of our products for us, inspectors. And then in addition to those 6 people, we have a cleaning team. And then I have, we've gone back to having maintenance being 1099 vendors.
Okay.
Because we could no longer support a part-time handy person. But yeah.
So the 6 are like employees.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And then what does that leave your part in?
Yeah. So strategy. So I meet with the woman who helps us buy our products. Okay. What are those? Are there better prices elsewhere? Or how are the products actually working within the building? Have we evaluated, you know, down to the toilet paper and the kind of toothpaste we get and looking at the reviews and the conversations and involving our inspectors, right? So how is the buying department working out? How is the audit of the supply area working out, right? Like, can we improve those efficiency? Are you running to Target too much? Like,
right.
Are you running the dollar store? Like, I don't want to do that, right? To our revenue management strategy meetings that we have with, you know, Colleen, and what is our 3 months out looking like? How do the reports go out to the owners, and are they happy, right? So just so that overarching, how's everyone doing?
Right.
Can I help you improve anything? Down to, you know, I'm not going to lie, a month ago, we let a cleaning company go, and I had the opportunity to hire a third party while we found someone more permanent. And as I was interviewing these third party cleaners, I was like, I don't trust any of these people. Mm. So my husband and I cleaned for a week, and it was actually a humbling experience, but also I learned so many other ways to, again, improve. So,
and you remember going back to the beginnings, you know?
Yes. No, but I mean, there's one thing when your cleaning team tells you, like, hey, like, this isn't working great. And you're like, they're just complaining again or whatever. It's when you experience it yourself that, I mean, especially as a boutique company, like, that is very important to us.
Mm-hmm.
I've always, even when we were up to 50, at that point, I knew that I never wanted to get any bigger. But being boutique, it's like, that's my favorite part. Is like making sure everything is incredibly dialed in and like the details are all there. And so taking that week to put yourself in, whether it's the inspector's shoes, the reservationist shoes, yeah. Every once in a while as a business owner, I think it's good. But so yeah.
Yeah. And having your eyes on your own property, sometimes, you know, we can get in the weeds of all the other aspects of our business, but to come and see what's actually happening on site is so valuable.
Yes.
Well, let's talk operations, because if you didn't know, Sarah is obsessed with operations and she's amazing. She's like, we can call you the queen of operations.
I would love that.
You know, this was a shocking revelation to me when I first was getting to know you and first in HBMM, our community, to know that you were so into operations. I never expected that. So let's talk just quickly. I'm going to just throw out some topics and you can kind of tell us maybe some tips, yeah, or what you're doing.
Okay.
All right. So let's talk laundry.
Yeah.
Offsite, onsite, what's happening?
Yes. So when we were, okay, we are combo. I'll say that. So some buildings, because we're co-hosting, right? So listeners, that when you're out there, whether you're started or you're going to, every property is a snowflake. Every owner is a snowflake. And every property's, I guess, expense threshold is a snowflake. So some properties, it makes sense to take the laundry offsite and to have it done, you know, like it's all done professionally, but have it done by another third party company that can fold it and bring it back and what have you. There are some properties where that's just not a possibility. So we bring actually in-house laundry professionals with professional processes in terms of, soaps and how things get clean and how they get packaged up and put away. So you can take the same practices for all of your properties and have that same brand standard, mm-hmm, if that makes sense. But whether we engage in a third party or we do it, you know, in-house, in the building,
right?
It just depends. So we do both.
I like that. Supplies.
We have a combination of leveraging Amazon business accounts, mm-hmm. Costco wholesale. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite tips that we share a lot on Thanks for Visiting Instagram is a volume specialist at Costco. So actually I got this tip years ago from a Costco manager, but Costco, and I'm sure like Sam's Club and those other big warehouses, if you're a small business and you buy your business supplies from them, you can create your own PDF of all the supplies that you need for your business. And so for us co-hosts, you can do it by house, by address. Create these PDFs and then fill them out, whether you do it monthly or quarterly or bi-weekly, whatever that is for you. Email it to them. Their credit card's on file. They will pull it for you. They will leave it at the front of the warehouse for you. And you can either go pick it up or you can have a tasker come pick it up and deliver it to you. But having someone pull all those items from the shelves and have it paid for individually for each of your, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
so good.
So do you do that like monthly? Like what's the... And you said you have a volume specialist. Is that the person that's in charge of this?
They work. So the volume specialist tip is a Costco worker.
Okay.
Like there is someone at Costco dedicated to small business operations and purchasing. So you can work with them to do these things. We have in-house, we call her our buyer. So she will buy all of our supplies for us.
Okay.
It is our goal to do it quarterly.
Okay.
I'm going to use the word goal.
Right.
Because we don't always hit that goal.
Right.
If you don't think there are one-offs, we're like, how the heck are we were at par and this was our par for 3 months. And now all of a sudden, you know, whatever that is, 30 whatever of toilet paper isn't enough or some guess, you know what I mean? So it's not an exact science.
Now you just use the word par, which
yes,
is
par level.
A hotel industry word. Can you quickly give us a...
Yes. So when I was an actor in New York, I worked in restaurants and hotels. So, and I think that's where I fell in love with operations is when, if you've ever been a bartender or a server and you might be getting an order at this table, but you know that you have to go from this table to your where you place the order, right? The computer. And you have to think about all the things that you need to do to maximize your time from point A to point C. Like that's my favorite thing to do. Is how can I maximize these next 5 minutes to like ultimate whatever? So anyway, par level is knowing how much you need of something for a certain period of time. You can learn this with time if you track things. So let's say you go to Costco and you buy, I don't know, 5 gallons of olive oil because you supply olive oil at your rentals and that will last you 6 months. Okay. So then you always want to have a certain level of olive oil on deck, but in your supply area.
Right.
And once you dip below it, that is a red flag that you're going to be out of it. So we will go into our supply closets and we will take inventory. And if we are below par on any of our inventory items, and hopefully this is happening right about that like 2.5 month mark when we're about to go shopping again, it just makes it easier, right?
And is the cleaner communicating that? Is that an inspector that's
checking? Our inspector
checking?
Does okay. that.
Is an mm-hmm. is also an auditor mm-hmm. for supplies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. What about tech?
So what's my tech stack?
Yeah. We know you love Breezeway.
That might be my favorite.
We know that you love Hostfully.
I use Hostfully. Yep.
What else keeps you and your team on track?
We adopt. So for our internal team communication, there's a lot of ways to communicate, right? You could use Slack. You can use WhatsApp. We like Voxer. So okay. Voxer is like a walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I like it is because when you get pinged by Voxer, it's a different sound. Mm-hmm. You can change your notifications with a click of a button. So if you're off duty, you can go to like mentions only or just like not at all. And you can just speak into it. So I think today's quote-unquote co-host property manager is different than the, you know, older school vacation rental management where you were on our feet a lot. Like I, even as owner, I am not at my computer like all the time. So if I want to communicate with my team, it's just to know who's on duty and to get a hold of them with my voice is so much easier than typing something out.
Yeah. Totally on the go.
On the go.
We've got to be able to do it. I mean, especially when we're hopping maybe potentially property to property.
Yeah. Or if you're driving, like, I don't, you know, like, I don't want them like to do anything while they're actually driving.
Right.
But if you're at a stoplight and you want to Voxer someone a question, I just think it's so much easier than typing it out. You can also type out things there. But then we also use, I'm going to use things that aren't like short-term rental related. We also use Asana.
We do too.
And that is also one of my favorites.
It is so great. What do you guys use it for?
We use it for things like, so we handle our pet fees a little differently than most people. So if a guest is telling us they're bringing a pet, we'll mark it in there in Asana. We manage our lost and found in Asana. So tracking, we found something. We notified the guest.
Right.
We followed up with the guest. The guest gave us their address. We need to mail it back. You know what I mean? Like all the steps that it takes to like get something from point A to point B happens in Asana. Unless it's maintenance, cleaning, or inspection related, then we keep all that stuff in Breezeway.
Want to know our best kept hosting secrets? They're all inside our STR must-haves master list, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The must-haves master list is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this, your guest checks in to your short-term rental and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE must-have master list by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best host didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
Gotcha. And what's so great about Asana is that you can assign tasks to people on your team. Mm-hmm. It sends them the notification. They're able to check when it's complete. And the whole team is able to kind of keep...
see what's going on.
Keep together. Yes, for sure. So, okay. Operations. We always hear, you know, you need to tighten your systems and your processes and streamline. Like, what does that actually mean? What are some of these systems and processes that we as co-hosts need to have in place, and what does tightening it up look like?
Yeah. So the first thing, that's a huge question.
Right.
The first thing that pops to mind is when you're a co-host, you are helping someone else manage a giant asset. So we've heard this before, you know, my favorite way to consider myself is yes, property manager, yes, co-host, but I'm an asset manager. I'm managing someone's asset. It's very important. So for co-hosts to dial in your process when for your preventative maintenance and when things pop up so you can track it, right? What is your process for making sure that the HVAC system is, we don't wait for things to happen, right? We're on top of it every year. The smoke detectors, the air conditioning units, the drains. You don't want to wait till a guest tells you that the drain is clogged. Do you want to have the preventative maintenance to have the drains cleaned proactively, right? And so those systems need to be tightened if you're waiting for things to happen to react to them. And I think that's one of the first lessons you learn kind of as a co-host. If you're not already like in the property management world, you develop that with time. So if you haven't started yet, be on top of that. Like already know all the things that you need to make a house hum so that a guest doesn't have to notify you. Also to look out for things where you're taking too many steps to get to an outcome. Mm. Right. So if you're repeating things or if your team is asking everyone constantly for an update. Okay. So we need visibility to whatever this is, whether it's like, maybe it might be owner communication. Hey, did you reach out to Mr. Smith? And you notice that your team is always asking, like, did you reach out to Mrs. Connor? Like whatever that is. Okay. I need visibility because we're wasting time asking our team members about what's going on.
Right.
So how can we implement a CRM, right? To where we can see who last communicated with that owner. So just knowing when you're taking too many steps, it's like when you go on Google Maps and you see there's a lot of ways to get to that destination, but some take 20 minutes and some take 10.
That's a good analogy.
And so the 10 is usually the highway because you're skipping a bunch of back streets. How can you and your team skip a bunch of back streets so that you can get to that destination a little bit faster? Whether that's for your guest, for your owner, just for your team's happiness, for your wallet, all those things. I mean, the more you can optimize time and efficiencies, I mean, the better your business is going to run.
Yeah, for sure. This is why you are the queen of operations. So you mentioned your communication with owners. Like, what does that look like? How much are your owners, you know, hands off? Are they involved? How much does that look different for each owner?
This is why I think you're amazing in what you do.
Aww.
And listeners, I don't know if Amy's given any visibility into her business yet, but you're incredibly flexible with meeting your owners where they're at, right? And that's important to you and your business.
Right.
For where I'm at with my business, I learned that I need an owner who is not involved at all. I'm trying to think of how to say this correctly without sounding terrible, but they cannot be involved, right? Like you cannot be a part of the guest communication process. You cannot be, we are full service and that is it.
So you are interested in having maybe more of like an investor who has a property and they just need someone that they can trust who's going to come in, take it, and they don't have to worry about it.
Yes. It is not uncommon. Actually, we look at our operations and our systems. If our owners are reaching out to us more than twice a month, something's not going well there because we are so proactive in terms of sharing with them their, you know, how their month went, what their occupancy was, how it compares to last year. Did it reach their goals? Here are the maintenance tasks that we're going to get ahead of. Here's the maintenance task that popped up. Like literally, like we give them all the things that happened in a snapshot so they don't have to ask us any questions. So we can just stay so dialed in into our systems that they have everything in their inbox before they can even ask for it. And that's why we like it.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. It's so different from my co-hosting business, but that's the beauty of it,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We can map out what works best for us,
yes,
and what feels like a fit.
Yes.
For what we want to create. And do your owners know that they have Sarah Karakayan as their property manager?
Actually, a couple of our owners follow Thanks for Visiting. So I think they know. I also wonder if they're thinking like, how does she actually have time to manage our properties? That's because we have amazing people on our team. But actually, a couple of our owners probably have no idea that I'm a short-term rental nerd and they probably don't really care. What they care about is, our owners also have to care about 5-star reviews.
Mm.
We do a lot of tweaking and that it means some extra money out of every monthly revenue. And they know that that's important to us. You know what I mean? So,
right. Yeah. How much do you talk to your owners about having hospitality be a value for them too? This isn't just about your profit margin, but to get that, we're going to need to invest in bringing a guest experience.
That goes back to when we started Staywell Hosting Co.'s its own brand and identity in our onboarding process and in our contract. We let them know that, you know, if a guest asks for an extra throw blanket and one wasn't enough, whatever the standards are, we will go get that other throw blanket. Here in Columbus, Ohio, and one of the big restaurant entrepreneurs here is Karen Mitchell, and he has a book and it's Yes is the Answer, What is the Question? And so we really try to operate under that same mindset. And if our owners love that about us, then we're a good fit. But they also don't want to be bogged down by being involved all the time, then we're a good fit. We have a threshold. If the expense is under $400 and it's going to make a guest happy, we already have permission to do it from the get-go.
Love that. And so they're on board. And how do you, you said there's a contract, which all good co-hosts will have with their clients. But what else do you have before the signing of the contract?
A conversation, right? When it's just as much as me interviewing the potential owner as is the owner, of course, interviewing me and having questions. And sometimes owners don't ask me the questions they should ask me.
Right.
And I will tell them that and say, you haven't asked me this, this, or this. And it's important we talk about those things. Whether it's, you know, what that threshold is in terms of spend, who's in charge when this situation happens under the property. Like, let's say the HVAC system goes out. There are co-hosts out there who, or property managers out there who would need to get the owner involved at that point or not, right? What happens if I had to make a trip after our inspector checked our checklist, the guest wants something extra? We are, yes is the answer. What is the question? But now our team has to leave their home after, you know, 5 o'clock to go out and attend to them. That's a trip fee that doesn't, you know, it comes out of the revenue of the property. Are you okay with that? You know what I mean? So those sorts of questions, because if that puts them off guard, they're like, well, I mean, does the guest really need a wine key at 8 p.m.? And it's like, well, if we say no to them and wait till tomorrow, that could affect our review. And that could absolutely affect your bottom line. And that's just not the kind of company we are. So they have to be okay with those. So we talk about those sorts of things before we even get the contract out to them.
Is this like an in-person sitting in the same room? Is this a Zoom call? Is this a phone call?
I think this can be, it's a really important decision for an owner, right? Especially owners that are attracted to companies like mine,
mm-hmm.
full service, they have a lot of trust. So it's not, I wouldn't be shocked, listeners, if someone wanted to meet you in person or, you know, set aside an entire hour to connect maybe twice, maybe three times, right? This is a big deal.
Yeah.
You are managing something that for most of them, I would say, you know, over $200,000 plus.
Right.
So it's a big decision.
And that's a lot of trust for someone to hand over to you as a co-host.
Yes. And a lot can happen in 2 to 3 months of trusting a company to watch after a property. And if they make a bad decision, I mean, that could be a lot of money out of their pocket to get it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll meet them wherever they're at. Zoom, coffee, phone call, whatever they're comfortable with.
What challenges have you faced with Stay Wild Hosting Co? Oh
my gosh.
Over the years?
I think honestly, the biggest challenge is a challenge I have with myself
and
deciding, you know, Amy, you and I just had this conversation about, you know, other people who have so many doors.
Right.
And it's to this day, it gets to me. Like, how can I kind of represent short-term rental education and not have the biggest property management company out there?
The largest portfolio.
How can I not, you know, I have to, don't I? Like, isn't that what I have to do? And to know and to be confident in what this business has to do for me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a constant struggle. Even when I've decided on whatever I've decided on, like right now where we're at, it's like, well, is that the right decision?
Just the second guessing.
Yeah.
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 But you're staying true to yourself and you're staying true to your own, you know, your own dream of owning real estate. And again, 25 properties is no joke.
It's not nothing. It's not nothing. But at the same time, it's in the world of, and I, you know, I'm not saying this to have people feel like 25 is nothing or 10 is nothing or 5 is nothing, right?
Right.
But there are companies out there who can manage, you know, multiple hundreds, and it can be a lot of fun. And it's a space of growth that can be incredibly challenging. But this is why you asked me, you know, what are our core values? And with Stay Well Hosting Co., it's not only the core values of how the guests interact with your business and your owners, but also you, yourself. And to remember that we wanted Stay Well to be a majority properties we had equity ownership in.
Mm.
And that, I had to go back to that all the time. Whenever I get a really juicy email from someone who's like, I have this beautiful property, do you want to manage it? And I'm like, oh my God, I love that neighborhood or that house is so cute. But then, like right now, we have a really awesome idea to build something, to create something that isn't common. And we're looking for land, and buying land is not my forte. Like I'll buy an old house all day and fix it up.
Right.
But buying land is my forte. And so I have to remember, like, saying no to that cute cottage means I'm saying yes to figuring out how to buy this piece of land and do something different and challenge myself.
Right.
And I have to go back to my mission. And yes. My why.
Yes.
So that you don't get lost in what everyone else wants you to do.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
If it's not a hell yes, it needs to be a no.
And you know what? You said that. I forget what we were talking about, but I was like, and I use that now too, not only for myself, but whenever a friend calls me and they're like vacillating, I'm like, is this a hell yes? And they're like, well, no. And I'm like, then it's...
It needs to be a no.
Then it needs to be a no. At least, yeah. at least no for now.
So my next question is then, it sounds like you're good with 25, or what's next for Stay A While Hosting Co? Are you... Do you feel like that's enough on your plate? Would you grow? Are you open? Are you wanting to D-scale? What's the word?
I know D-scale because you scale and do you like D-scale? I don't know. It sounds like I'm D-scaling Keurig machines, which gives me eye twitches. Honestly, Amy, I don't know because we do have our own duplex coming on into our program that we own fully. I told you we're shopping for this land. This land, if this next project happens, it's going to definitely like change all of our, my whole set schedule is going to change. And so when that happens, it's like, yeah. So right now we're going to stay exactly where we're at. We have a good system. I know how many inspectors I need. I know how many cleaners I need. I know how many reservations. You know what I mean? Like I know right. these numbers. If someone moves on to greener pastures, not a problem. I know exactly how to hire. You know what I mean? So like right. nothing is going to be out of the norm for a moment because we're looking at changing things up and shaking things up. And for me, that's what I need to happen.
Yeah, that's great. So what advice, we only have a few minutes left. What advice would you give to our listeners who are thinking about co-hosting?
Yeah. I mean, I get on my horse every day at Thanks for Visiting, but I'll get on it one yes. more time. Is just to not take this job lightly. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care about any of that stuff. What I care about is that you know the importance of, like we said, the asset for the owner. Like this is their wealth building strategy for their family and generationally, right? And then you're bringing guests into these properties that have never been in the property before. They have their family in it or their friends. It's just, it's a very important job. And on top of the guest and the owner, you are also representing our industry as a co-host. The services that you bring to your guests and to your owners and to the community greatly affect who we are as an industry. And I love there's diversity in terms of how we operate our businesses. But at the end of the day, safety and respect for our communities has to be at the forefront. Because if we have a lot of these like stories in the news about landlords, property managers, co-hosts who are absent or who don't care. I mean, it makes it really hard. Honestly, can I be honest with you? Sometimes when I'm traveling, I will think about staying in a hotel because I'm nervous about the operations of the short-term rental I might be staying at.
Right.
Because there's no standardization there. So it's really tough. And I want to change that. Like I want to like when I travel, it to always be, I want to support the short-term rental industry because there are now more hosts who care than those who are just doing it to make a quick buck.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking as you were talking. Like we want the reputation of short-term rental hosts and people staying at short-term rentals. We don't need to hear all these nightmare stories all the time. Like we want people raving about their short-term rental experience. It escalates up even towards like municipalities and cities needing to put regulations on if there are so many hosts that are not leveling up like we are encouraging hosts to do. Yeah.
It's very important.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, it's rewarding. It is crazy profitable for you. I will tell you that. As I was growing our company, I was like, wow, I feel great about our profit margins and what I'm able to take home, what I'm able to pay our team. Like, It's lucrative is the word I was looking for. That's all great. But also remember, like your systems aren't just about, you know, having systems because you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that you can have a really well-run property and do all those things, serve your owners, your guests, your community.
So if people want to stay at one of these, stay a while. What if people want to stay a while?
Stay a while with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can head to stayawhilehostingco.com. You can also check out our site. I spent a lot of time on it and money because it was important to me that stay, that our digital real estate was just as dialed in as our physical real estate. But yeah, check out the website and reach out if you have any questions. But yeah.
Sarah Karakayan, ladies and gentlemen, amazing. Thank you so much for spending time with me. And good luck with co-hosting.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.